We're going to look into a really serious issue now, that of youth unemployment and addiction. There's a vicious circle, and we're going to look to break the cycle, or what can be done to break the cycle, because unfortunately, there is a massive connection between the youth's inability to find work and rising drug and alcohol addiction. So, talking to me about this very important topic this afternoon is Teboho Ramadiro of the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. Teboho, thanks for being with me this afternoon on Chai FM.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm greeting the listeners of Chai FM.
So, you were presented to me with the title of Substance Use Coordinator, and I thought, boy, that's a dangerous, that's certainly open to
Title to have.
misinterpretation.
Yeah, no, that's a heavy title to have. Every time when I get that a lot on the radio interviews I do to say,
Yeah,
substance use
sure.
coordinator,
Anyway, let's move on to this, because this actually really is a very serious topic, especially in the context of South Africa currently. So let's talk about the trends of youth unemployment in South Africa. And how has this been affected by substance abuse?
Okay. Thank you so much for your question. So, youth unemployment in South Africa remains a very high and very persistent, issue that we're dealing with. So when we look at high joblessness, it can create despair or reduce daily structure and even purpose for our youth. This and also can increase idle time. So these conditions, they can raise the risk of substance use. In adverse, when you're talking about the effects, is that substance misuse makes it harder for young people to access and keep work. We're talking about absenteeism, poor concentration, and health problem. So these two problems feed each other, in reinforcing a cycle. So we create like a cycle.
Yeah, no, I absolutely hear you and understand the issue. I'm just wondering to what extent it is significant. To what extent, I mean, there's a lot of socioeconomic reasons for people to turn to drugs and alcohol if you have that sort of personality type. But there are lots of people elsewhere who don't. So to what extent do you think that there's a link between the abuse and the inability to find and retain employment? And are they actually looking for the employment in the first place?
So there's a huge extent which we also get it on, on the helpline, the substance abuse helpline, where you hear young people saying, "Look, I don't have anything that I'm doing with my life, and I've resorted to even smoking or even drinking." But then when you ask, when do you get the money to actually buy the substances, so they will say, "Look, I
Sure.
hang around with friends, I hang around with crowds, I even resort to, stealing." So if I can just make an example, it's a huge extent for someone who smokes like your crystal meth. They need to smoke
Sure.
5 times a day, and the street value of it is like 50 rand. So that's 250 in a day, and then that's like 1.7 in a week, and it's like 7,000 a month. So to a greater extent, there's a very huge link between youth and
So I guess then the next and very important question would be, what kind of interventions or programs have proved to be successful in addressing these issues?
so there's multiple programs that, have been tried, but we believe that they've been tried in isolation. So what would definitely would work is an integrated model would work best. So examples would be rehabilitation combined with like vocational skills. So most of the gaps that we are picking up is that a lot of people who go to rehab come back and say, "Look, I don't have anything to do. Now I'm rehabilitated. But now I don't have anything to do. I don't have any job. I don't have anything that's keeping me busy." So these programs, when they are implemented, we need to also look at combining these integrated models, not just doing them in isolation in terms of rehabilitating, and then someone comes out, they don't have a job that's waiting for them. So transitional work programs and social enterprises can be done, which is where companies can hire and mentor, young people. So it's about bridging those gaps. But programs, when they're implemented, it's often done in like it's either focusing on one module, not integrating the both modules.
I'm listening to you, and it's making sense to me what you're
Yeah.
saying, but I'm thinking to a certain extent what we're doing here is we are addressing the results and not the causes. And I'm wondering to what extent one is even able to deal with problems of this magnitude, given really a broken society.
So these challenges that we're having, they don't happen in isolation, right? So it's
Sure.
easier said than done. So I would believe this would speak to the policies that are in place, you know, in terms of dealing with the issue of substance abuse and unemployment, because these social ills, they're not just the only two social ills that we have, you know, also would have announced GBV. So it's like, how does one focus and construct to say, how do we join these programs and link them together so that they can help? So this is where on the substance line we come in with the education, the psychoeducation on empowering someone who's just reaching out and saying, look, I realize that, you know, I was struggling with addiction. How can I connect or get support? You know, I currently at the moment, I know that I'm not working. What is it that I can do for myself, you know, to improve and not idle with time? So it's this is where the substance abuse helpline comes into effect, where our counselors train and empower, you know, the youth or anyone, and even the loved ones, to see how do they support the young person that's struggling with addiction or substance abuse or being out of rehab.
What keeps you going? I mean, this must be one hell of an emotionally draining thing that you're doing. I think it's remarkable, but it must be incredibly difficult. And I'm just wondering, have you got success stories that you can share with us that explain to us why you'd be motivated to continue?
Definitely, we've had a couple of success stories. There was one I can remember. There was an individual that reached out to the helpline, and they were really wanting to stop, but because of their battling with addiction, I think maybe the key thing is also maybe breaking and understanding to communities what it, when we're talking about addiction, what we are talking about. But in context to your question, to answer your question, that individual called in. They said they tried everything. They tried stopping on their own, but they have no luck. But they are really tired. So I had connected them with, you know, they were in Free State, Phuthaditjhaba, just to be precise. They were smoking mandrakes. So I connected them with one of our colleagues in social development, where I'm happy to say right now they are in rehabilitation. But when they called me, they were just processing them. We were just processing them with the help of getting into rehab. When they came back to me, they said, "Actually, there's a friend of mine, and just I'm with them right now. They also want to get into rehab." So this speaks to that, you know, social cohesion, that if we can impact one person, you know, the message can spread across to other individuals dealing with this. With these programs of substance or addiction, it can be draining. But what motivates is that these are, you know, daily challenges that one deals with. A lot of people that are struggling with substance abuse face a lot of stigma, you know, and judgment. But when we look at these cases, we say that there's underlying factors. No one wakes up being an addict, you know. There's a root cause of what led or started this individual to actually start the substances. So this is what motivates, you know, us on to keep pushing. I can speak on my behalf to keep pushing every day, that every day when we wake up, we know a loved one, we know a family, we know a friend, we know even a cousin that is struggling with addiction.
Sure. Well, final question for you this afternoon. What then, what policy changes or initiatives do you think are needed to break this cycle that we've spoken about this afternoon?
So policy needs to look at certain priorities, but more than anything, I believe that foster collaboration is what is important that would help to break the cycle. We need to have more integrated youth paths, which pathways which combine mental health, substance use services with skills training and job placement, you see. And what I also think could work in policy development is we need to scale up on community-based treatment with vocational components and strong aftercare. Because like I said, when you look at these programs, it's almost like they're working in silos, you know. So when someone leaves rehab, they need to have a plan in place to say, listen, what do I join? Do I join a support group like Alcoholics Anonymous? And do you have something skills development wise that I need to do? Maybe train up on, you know, on computer skills. So we also need to also involve the private sector as well, where incentives are given for employers to hire and support recovering youth. So this would look at what tax credits, wage subsidies. So there's also right now what we do is early intervention, early prevention in schools, you know, and having community hubs, which include routine screening and referral. So these are the things that could break the cycle, you know, in terms of policy changes or having these initiatives.
Teboho Ramadiro, thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon. We're going to leave it there. We're going to take a music break and then we're going to go to news.